Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. We are looking at the coastal area of Block 56, onshore Oman, just south of there, where we have had a lot of activity during this quarter. But let's go straight for the presentation. Could I have the first slide, please? Very good. So we have had significant activity, particularly in our operated blocks. Of course, Blocks 3 and 4 is still where most of the production comes from. We are not the operator, but we'll discuss that, of course, also in some detail. On Block 56, we've seen the results now of the long-awaited extended well test on the Al Jumd discovery, which has yielded some very encouraging and positive results. On Block 58, we have continued prospect maturation now with the South Lahan area, and we are in the process of tendering for a rig and also looking for a potential partner in 58, as we will try and unlock exploration success there later this year and early next year. Production came in somewhat disappointing, 8,994 barrels of oil per day. That's down almost 500 barrels per day from the first quarter. We are seeing the decline in 3 and 4 continue, however, at a much lower rate and stabilizing. And as you have seen, we are guiding for around 9,000 for the full year 2023. Still giving us good cash flow, and cash flow from operations stood at $25.7 million. A lot of that has been reinvested, in particular in Blocks 3 and 4. We remain one of the largest acreage holders in Oman, as you can see on the next slide, with interests in Blocks 3 and 4, 30% since 2007, in production since 2011, and commercial production license since 2012. We're now 100% in Block 49, where we have drilled one well that encountered hydrocarbons, and we are eager to try and do a hydraulic frack of the tight sandstone and see if we can get some hydrocarbons to surface. 56 is the most activity is there. We've drilled several wells. We've acquired loads of seismic, and of course, the proof is in the pudding. You have to get oil to surface in commercial viable quantities to create value. That's what we are on the cusp of doing in 56. And 58, seismic acquisition completed in 2021, and successful interpretation since then. That said, let's move on and look at Block 56. Let me take one step back and just remind us a little bit what we have here. What you're seeing is the blue line is the border between Block 6, which is the central block in Oman, owned and operated by PDO. Right where approximately the Al Jumd sign is, and along that side of the border, Indonesian company Medco, on behalf of PDO, operates the Karim Small Fields project. Karim is a cluster of discrete structures that have been in production for more than 10 years, and what we are seeing on our Block 56 is simply the continuation of that same kind of structures into 56. That's why we are seeing the blobs here is the from seismic identified structures that are on our side. Some are leads, some are prospects. Al Jumd is the one where we have done most of the work and where we have drilled three horizontal wells and now carried out an extended well test for more than 3 months. We have varied the production to try and optimize it, to try and get an idea of what would be an optimal rate. what can one well, horizontal well, produce over time, and how can that be related to the estimates of the oil in place that we have made. So a combination of these data, and we produced some 35,000 barrels during the quarter as part of this extended well test. This is also oil that we lifted in July, and there will be some proceeds that will be divided between the government and ourselves and our joint venture partners. Apart from the drilling of Al-Jumd and testing it, we started doing serious interpretation of the 2,000 square kilometer state-of-the-art 3D seismic we acquired in 2022. We are really interested in looking at the central part of the block, where we have an interesting fault system with several leads identified on 2D. But we also took a closer look at what's around Al-Jumd with now additional 3D. And we can confirm that the trend continues along the Block 6 border. I think we now count up to a dozen leads. And we have identified a new prospect that is a direct analog to Al-Jumd. However, it's somewhat larger. So we are quite encouraged by what we have seen. And if I should draw a parallel to blocks 3 and 4, this is starting to look a little bit like what the Farah South trend looked like some 10, 12 years ago. What we then saw was a number of discrete structures, some of which have tested oil along a fairway, along a trend. Farah turned out to be a set of adjacent fault blocks that each compartment contained oil and is now still the mainstay of Block 3 and 4 production. Al-Jumd, we see a number of discrete structures, but all with similar characteristics. And if we turn to the next slide, we are going to continue to work on this trend and to try and bring this block into commercial production. Some of the major milestones are there, the milestone of the extended well test. We have the Sahar-3 discovery that we've driven an appraisal well on. We want to retest some zones that weren't tested, although we got oil from the deeper zone. And we want to drill the new prospect that we have done, that we have discovered. All this we would like to do over the next couple of months before the end of the year. And we have instigated discussions with the ministry to extend the exploration part of the license. We are in the final exploration phase, the second exploration phase. The next step is to bring the block into commercial production and declare commerciality of the block. We believe we are very well on the way of doing that after this extended well test, but we would like to do a bit more appraisal. We would like to retest Sarhar. We would like to drill a new prospect while start working on a field development plan, how we going to plan to both produce Al-Jumd, but also how we are planning to integrate other Al-Jumd trend prospects into a production system. Today, we are trucking the oil from Al-Jumd to the Sinsin facility, and we will look at other, that is an opportunity, but also if it would be sufficiently economic to, say, build a pipeline and a processing facility somewhere in the middle of the Al-Jumd trend. But all this is to be found out with additional work. And we expect to see a very active fall here in Block 56 in the Al-Jumd area. And not least, given the continued disappointing results from 3 and 4, bringing a second field, giving us a second production stream from Oman, remains a very high priority for us, and one that hopefully we will bring to fruition in the course of 2024. That said, on Ajum, of course, we are still continuing to mature leads in the central area, and there we see a possibly completely separate petroleum system that will be appraised once we have the Ajum area up and running, is our current plans. So that said, on 56, let's move into 58. The main excitement on 58 last quarter was the announcement of prospective resources over the Fahad area in the block. This quarter, we focused on the South Lahan prospect area, where we have a set of carbonate stringers, an analog to the PDO fields that you see as green blobs here on the slide. Again, we are flanking PDO. The orange yellowish line here to the left is our block 58. To the right is block 6, where PDO themselves operate the wheel cluster of carbonate stringers. So we are quite encouraged that we have been able to firm up a number of prospects in the area. They are clearly visible on seismic. They are deep, around 4,500, 5,000 meters. They are encased in salt and present a bit of a drilling challenge. That's why they are certainly not our first choice to be drilled, although we expect to see possibly a higher geological chance of success in Lahan than we have in Fahad. But Fahad remains the first drilling location. We expect to drill Fahad later this year or early next year. We are tendering for a rig. We had one rig in mind. When that was delayed, we also noticed that the rig market had opened up a bit, and we are now tendering with a number of participants and hoping that we can get maybe a slightly more adequate rig and also at a slightly lower price. At the same time, we are testing the waters for a farm out. We have 100% for block 58, so we have ample room to farm out to a suitable partner if such a partner can be found, and of course, at good commercial terms for ourselves. Leaving 58 and moving slightly to the northwest, we are back to block 49. Focus here has been to get the operations going so that we can do the re-entering of the Thameen well and see if we can fracture the sandstone and get some oil to surface. It has taken longer than we expected. There are a number of moving parts in conducting an operation like this, and initially we set out to try and tender for those separate parts independently. Turned out to be time-consuming and possibly slower than trying to go for an integrated contract for a contractor capable of doing everything from re-entering the well to actually conducting the fracking operation and also doing the testing of the well. We are currently evaluating the results of that tender, and we'll get back to you as soon as we have a clearer plan for what and when we are going to be able to action the Block 49 re-entry. With that, we move over to Blocks 3 and 4, where our producing block, where we have a 30% interest and have had that since 2010. When we farmed down 20 percentage points to our still partner, Mitsui. The diagram is pretty self-explanatory. We have seen, ever since we came back from the COVID lockdowns, we have seen production fall. We are stabilizing now around 9,000, we are hoping. And there are a number of reasons for this. We have seen surface issues that have been mitigated. We have seen wells that have not quite performed as they were expected to. We are seeing work in them being worked over, recompleted, and all in all, there is still a lot of activity in trying to stabilize and, of course, eventually also increase production in Block 3/4. However, we must conclude that some of these fields have been in production since the early teens, and we would expect a natural decline. You would also expect increased water handling. We are seeing all of this, but we would also expect production to maybe stabilize at least at these levels for the coming quarters. And of course, with an active exploration program that we can look at further on the next slide, we have seen actually three exploration wells come in positively. Maybe the most interesting one is the Jari-1 in the southern part of Block 4, where there appears to be a rather large resource base in Precambrian carbonates. And we are now trying to establish and understand how best to produce the, among others, Abu Mahara sandstone. Oil has been brought to surface, and there is definitely an active petroleum system. It's a tight reservoir, and we knew that. And we now, and the operator is now working on the best way to trying to evaluate and see how best we can bring this to production. And needless to say, a new discovery to, and particularly a large area of 3 and 4 that can be developed for new production will be instrumental in getting 3 and 4 production to stabilize and then to eventually increase. So to sum up, and we can move to the next slide. We've had a very active quarter and a very encouraging quarter, in particular in Block 56. And we are working hard to get a second production stream online in Oman, and we are hopeful we will be able to supply you, our shareholders, and market with news of how 56 and how 56 materializes over the year, the rest of the year, and then, of course, that we can bring it towards commercial production in the course of 2024. While waiting for that production stream to materialize, we are having all our financials income related to Blocks 3 and 4. We had an okay oil price of $81 per barrel, giving us revenue of $34.7, quite close to where we were in first quarter. EBITDA at $16.9, investment in oil and gas properties $21.4, giving a free cash of $4. A lot of investment in 3 and 4, both to finally upgrade the surface, but also now to rework some wells to increase production. We had our share redemption. We have had repurchase, share repurchase. And the combination of these revenue streams, the investments, and the distribution left us with a still quite healthy cash balance of $33.9 million at the end of June. And on that, I would actually like to turn to the next slide and hand the floor to our Chief Financial Officer, Petter, to do a more detailed rundown of the quarter's financials. Petter, please.
Thank you, Magnus. I think we'll stick on the financial highlights slide for just a moment and try to summarize the bigger picture of what we see here. The second quarter compared to the first quarter is relatively flattish in development, particularly on revenues, down a little bit as production came down somewhat and oil prices were stable. However, we do see slightly lower earnings on an EBITDA level. So 2023 is so far in a flatter trend than the increasing trend we in earnings and sorry, in revenues and earnings that we had through 2021 and 2022. And there are a number of reasons for this, and we will come back to that in more detail. I would say otherwise, we are very satisfied with the free cash flow and the net cash position of almost 34 million at the end of the quarter. Oil sales in terms of barrels has fairly flat compared to the first quarter, as was the oil price. Just a slight single-digit downtick in those volumes. And as a result, revenues were relatively unchanged. However, as we know, the production was down somewhat, and we have now moved to a minor overlift position compared to being underlifted for quite some time. We can see that the current production trends in the oil price will be reflected in Q3. That will impact, of course, the oil sales and revenues from that. We will touch on that a bit further down as well. And if we go to net entitlement, that is the oil that we are entitled to sell from the total production. We are currently at a net entitlement of 52% of total production. That is the maximum allowed under the PSA. Consequently, we are not recovering all the costs that we are generating at the moment. So we do have a cost pool, and for the end of the quarter, we had 10 million of costs unrecovered that we are entitled to receive through oil in the future. You can see in the graph to the left that the value of a net entitlement is somewhat lower this year than last year. That is primarily a consequence of two things: the lower oil price and the lower production. But much as we see in the profit and loss statement, it's a kind of flattish development in the year so far. And the fact that we are operating at full net entitlement does have an impact also on the cash flow, which is notable if you compare it year over year. Moving to operating expenditure, that we've seen that the trending upwards for quite some time now, both in absolute terms and per barrel. In absolute terms, what we see is the effects of increased fuel consumption and fuel costs. And also which is primarily driven by the increased water handling relating to the maturity of the field. We also see increased cost for workovers, which is both an effect as well of the high activity on the field, but also that some of those costs have recently been a bit more expensive than planned due to using a slightly heavier equipment than normally would be necessary. That is an effect we hope to see recede going forward. Now, the OPEX per barrel in the quarter was 17.4. That is, of course, a combination of the slightly higher absolute costs and the lower production rates than in previous years. And going forward, for that to come down, we really need to see a turnaround in particular production. Well, but in the meantime, we are looking at how we can improve the cost in absolute terms. This quarter, there is a first. We actually see the inclusion of some OPEX related to something other than blocks 3 and 4, and that is that the block 56 extended well test added 700,000 in OPEX in the quarter. Now, it's worth reminding you that there was no revenue recognized or production recognized as commercial production in the quarter. So that is not included in the 17.4 per barrel, but that is the 700,000 is the current run rate of OPEX from the extended well test. And we expect to see some proceeds from that, as Magnus mentioned, in the coming quarter. Otherwise, the block 3 and 4 capex was down sequentially as expected, with Q1 being burdened by the annual bonus and benefits payments by the operator in Oman. Moving on to cash flow. Operating cash flow before working capital was around 18 million. We had a positive working capital effect of 7.5, leaving us with about 25 million in operating cash flow. And that is primarily the effect of the move to overlift being one of the big shifts in the positive working capital effect. CapEx, we are continued high spending on blocks 3 and 4. That is particularly on drilling. We're seeing a lot of drilling going on this year. We have 4 rigs operational, and we've drilled 3 exploration wells this year so far. 1 more to come. The 3 have been successful in encountering hydrocarbons, so there has been some incremental testing costs related to those. At the same time, we are acquiring some more 3D seismic, particularly in the southern areas of the block where we see a lot of potential, and a lot of work going on to ensure the production integrity of the field and improving performance, and the results of which we hope to see in the coming quarters. When it comes to our operated blocks 49, 56, and 58, as we've said, there has been quite low level of operational activity in the field, and that's reflected in the relatively low capex. But we do expect some of that to pick up in the second half of 2023, particularly relating to block 56, as we've seen block 58 drilling being pushed into next year. So that means, for the quarter, we have a free cash flow of 4 million. That is a nice uptick, having had a couple of quarters of almost no free cash flow. So we're happy to see that. But it is worth remembering we are in an investment phase, and focus is really to deploy the capital and cash that we have and create value in the field, particularly through the drill bits. And using rather than having the cash sitting on our balance sheet. But we're happy with that performance in the quarter, and it shows the strength of the model, the business model we apply. Now, net back, we usually talk about being an indicator of the performance over time in terms of the profit oil generated from blocks 3 and 4 and free cash flow without the sort of fluctuations that we see. And we see this quarter that netback, net of capex, is in fact negative. That is due to us being unable to recover the full costs for generating 3 and 4. Conversely, we have the 10 million cost pool. So this is the effect of when we are at full cost recovery and recoverable cost exceeding that cost allowance. So that is cash that is being deferred and we will receive in the future. Moving on to guidance for 2023, we have made some revisions to this, particularly the production. We have seen that in the monthly releases trending, and the production guidance is a reflection of what we believe the full year average to be in light of performance year to date, and that's 9,000 barrels per day plus minus 200 barrels on the yearly average. Operating expenditure as calculated on the basis of blocks 3 and 4 is expected to be around $17 per barrel, plus minus half a barrel. That is, of course, not including extended well test. And we now expect the investments in oil and gas assets to be somewhat lower than previously, in the range of 81 to 86, rather than the previously 85 to 95. And that is particularly due to the deferred drilling on Block 58, being that the main swing factor in that. And before I hand over back to Magnus, I just wanted to remind you about the effects of oil pricing in Oman. As you know, the prices are set with a 2-month lag, so we already at this point know what the unweighted average price will be in the third quarter, and that is 76.8, So that is somewhat lower than we had in the second quarter. So third quarter revenues will be reflecting that lower price that we have seen in a few months back. However, currently, Oman export blend is trading at $87 per barrel. That is a $3 per barrel premium to Brent, and those effects we expect to see coming into the fourth quarter. So the very strong oil price trend currently will be reflected in our achieved price during the beginning of the fourth quarter, just as a reminder. And with that, I just want to hand back to Magnus.
Thank you very much, Petter. And if we can have the next slide, just a quick note on the overall oil price. It has been quite firm, as you all know, over the last 6 months. Every time we've seen 70, it's bounced up to 75, and now we are in solid territory above 80. Certainly get the impression that OPEC, with Saudi Arabia at the helm, is very focused on maintaining prices at a level they consider reasonable. And this slide just illustrates that both the way the quotas are set, and we should say that we are in no way impacted by any OPEC plus quotas. We are allowed to produce as much as we can and encouraged to increase production as much as we can. But we are seeing that the overall quotas are set at quite low levels, and actual production is even coming in below those low levels. And on top of that, Saudi Arabia has now extended a unilateral 1 million barrel per day additional limitation up through another month. So the both what we see in action and what it seems that OPEC is able to produce, and as long as Saudi Arabia maintains this discipline, we are quite convinced that we are not going to see any serious drop in oil prices. Rather, maybe if there is some kind of sort of supply disruption, we may see risk on the upside. That said, let me just sum up what we can expect. Hopeful to see Blocks 3 and 4 stabilize around the 9,000 as per our guidance. Also, very keen to get updates on the evaluation of the exploration wells that have been drilled so far this year. In our own blocks, of course, lots of focus on Block 56. We have approached the ministry for an extension of the second phase. We would expect to be able to do the work we need to bring it towards commerciality over the next couple of months. That's by far the main focus of the objectives for the quarter. The rest is progressing according to plan with the prospect maturation in 58. We'll see if there is an interest for a farm out in the Dugitu farm out 58. Could be of interest to form a stronger partnership there. And of course, we are also eager to see the first Block 58 well drilled, but probably not going to happen until late this year or early next year. So on that note, we are happy to take questions, if there are any. Please.
Thank you. Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw your question, please press star 11 again. Please stand by, we will compile the Q&A roster. This will take a few moments. And now we're going to take our first question from the line of Knut Martin Carlsen from Commandeer Capital AS. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Magnus and Petter, and congratulations on this success on Block 56. I was just wondering on the prospective resources on South Lahan and the central area of Block 56. Do you have a number on that, on the PP50 mean?
Okay. We don't as yet. Lahan, we are done with our work and are currently working with a peer review, which would result in an independent report on prospectivity of Lahan, which then, of course, will add to Block 58 prospectivity. When it comes to 56 Central Area, we're delaying that a bit with the focus on the Al-Jum trend. So we're not expect any prospective resources on 56 Central Area until towards the end of this year, or probably most likely during Q1 next year.
Yeah, okay, thanks. That was the only question. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Now we're going to take our next question. Just give us a moment. And the next question comes from the line of Stefan Foucault from Octus Advisors. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my question. I've got a few on 56 and 58, and if that's okay, we'll have a follow-on on 3 and 4. So on 56, various activities taking place, on appraisal, looking at the commercial development, when would you expect to be able to be in a position to sanction the block for commerciality, assuming everything works, and start deploying capex for production? Is it 2024? Is it beyond that? What's your best view?
Okay. Thanks for the question, Stefan. If we first look at the license situation, so we are in the final stage of second exploration. So typically, the next phase forward would be to declare commerciality. Now, declaration of commerciality needs a field development plan that both shows how you are going to, what kind of resources you have, how you expect to drain it, over what time, what kind of method, what kind of investment, and what kind of value does your field development plan achieve. So, and of course, the provisional work of that has already started. We have a fair idea about Al-Jum. We need to do a bit more work on the Al-Jum 4 horizontal well. We will then come up with an optimization of how best to drain Al-Jum. Do we need more wells? Do we need other ones we have sufficient, et cetera, et cetera? It's work that we've done most likely over the course of the next 3 or 4 or 5 months. We would like to be able to add Sarha to the development plan, and we would also very much like to realize one more prospect, most likely the one that we just identified, and to put all this into one comprehensive development plan for the Al-Jum part of Block 56. Typically, this will not take more than, say, 6 months. If we are reasonably successful and keep the pace up, and the next step would then be to commercialize the block. So, from a planning perspective, we would certainly have to get this done during the course of 2024.
Great, thank you. My second question is on 58. You talk about looking to farm out the block, and the vision for that being the cost of the South Lahan deeper well. So would the intention be to just farm out the South Lahan area or the entire block, including Fahad? That's my second question.
I would say we are totally pragmatic. I mean, we have 100%, and we have the money to drill the Fahad well. We most likely have the money to drill the South Lahan well also. But there's always risk in these ventures. In case of success, there would also be development. And we are just curious and eager to see what kind of partner could be attracted to Block 58 at this stage. And if a good partnership could be formed, that would be depend entirely on what's achievable and what the terms would be. But most likely, I mean, the farm down would be of the block, say, and typically what we have done in the past is farmed out X% Y% I'd say that's the most likely scenario. But I mean, it's entirely up to if there is interest at all, and in that case, what that interest can result in, what kind of deal that can result in.
It's by no means a foregone conclusion that there will be a deal. As Magnus said, we are able to finance the drilling ourselves. So it's really exploratory to see if we can get a deal that we're happy with.
Okay, thank you. And my last question is on Block 3 and 4 and around the Elaf 1 and Rabah 1 discovery. I think you talked about that those two wells brought oil to surface. Are they now in production? I think you also have some more work to do. And if they are not in production yet, what is the uncertainty? What prevents that to happen? Thank you.
Okay. They are not hooked up to the production system as yet. They both flow to hydrocarbons to the surface. And we are looking at fairly light. A light hydrocarbon, and it's really a matter of optimization, how to get the best value given the perceived product mix, how to best bring it into the current system. So it's a bit of an evaluation optimization exercise, we understand, and we would expect that probably take at least another couple of months before we have more certainty as to when and how they can be brought on stream.
And is it because the oil is a bit different from what you have on the rest of the field, because there is a bit of water, because a bit of gas? Why not hooking them up? What's the specific way you can't hook them up fairly quickly?
Well, it's really a question for the operator, of course, but we understand that it has got to do somewhat with the product mix and to optimize production from that particular product mix.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's it for my question. Thanks for giving me the time.
Thank you. Now we're going to take our next question. And the next question comes from the line of Teodor Sveen-Nielsen from SB1 Markets. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Magnus and Petter. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three questions. First, on 2024 investment level, it seems like at least you, Magnus, you are pretty constructive on your oil price view. So just wonder, should we expect investments next year to be higher than this year, assuming that the oil price will at least remain at this level? So that's the first question. Second question is on your balance sheet. Historically, you have a very strong balance sheet with net cash position. I just noticed now you have the lowest net cash position since 2018. So should we interpret that as you're actually now managing the company towards zero net cash, or shouldn't we interpret anything around that? And finally, question is just generally on cost inflation. I think we discussed that previously, but what's the latest development in the local market in Oman? What kind of cost inflation do you see, and which part of the value chain do you see the most cost inflation on? Thanks.
Thanks, Theodore. Let's see. Let's start from the beginning. I mean, we haven't done our budgets or done any guidance for 2024, but I think typically we would want to see a little bit less of capex in 3 and 4, especially if we are going to see production on these levels and not higher. If we go into a full-fledged development on 56, that would certainly demand an element of cash flow, although of course we would try to use cash flow from operations as much as we can. But we would expect an element of cash sink into a 56 development. Obviously, as a field development plan and a declaration of commerciality would give ample guidance as to how much cash we would expect to see and also how much production we would expect to see when, and we could then calculate a capital need based on that. Otherwise, I think we are in a business that evolves, and we do see the occasional risk that needs to be mitigated. Oil prices are always volatile. We have a lot of opportunity, but also some capex into wells, etc. So I think we would expect to see the cash position maybe fluctuate a bit based on our needs, and we will be able to be much clearer on what we expect for next year once we do our budget and guidance for 2024. Turning to cost inflation, in our operated blocks, we're not really seeing that much of an impact. And when it comes to the rig situation, that's actually opened up a bit. There has been tightness, which has attracted additional players, and they have also to bring new rigs into country. So I think apart from the moving costs of, for example, diesel on 3 and 4, we are not really seeing any clear trends. Possibly a little bit on the manpower, in that there is a lot of activity, and that is, of course, increasing demand on good people. Otherwise, there is not really, and then, of course,
I can add to that. I mean, I think what we're seeing is we're not seeing any particular inflation in Oman as such that sticks out from what we see internationally. However, on certain long lead import items where there is tightness globally from time to time, that kind of pops up. I mean, we've seen that in the case of it with some steel tubing and casing at times, and we've seen it on certain components. But it's not something we're seeing across the board. So it's more, I think, supply chain disruption related. So sorry to break in there, but just no particular inflation pressures in Oman as such that deviate from historical patterns or otherwise. And just to add also, I mean, on the cash position, yes, it is the lowest cash position that we've had for a long time. And rightfully so, the cash is to be put to work. I think at times we have had a higher net cash than we had planned or intended to, due to both sometimes fortuitous reasons, you know, higher oil price than planned or delays in operations. And now we're putting it to work, and we expect to do so going forward. And as Magnus said, as we look into next year and the moving parts on both 3 and 4. Cash generation, but also in Block 56 needs, given the development, we'll make appropriate plans to address that. But historically, we've had a very, very strong cash generation to support all our operations.
Okay, thank you. So, just one follow-up on the balance sheet question. Magnus, you were clipping a little bit when you discussed that. Should we expect the company to move towards a zero net cash position going forward as you develop Block 56 in particular and maybe 58?
I can respond there instead. I mean, We have no intention to. There is no explicit target to move to any like zero cash position. But I mean, we will finance developments as appropriate. I mean, if we feel that it's prudent to take on debt to do so, and that's suitable to the returns of the project, we'll certainly consider it. I think it's fair to say that. If we see success on 58 and 56, there will be a consistent development capex and long term capex requirements to be that are consistent over time that we need to plan for. But we're not targeting any particular kind of net cash position. I mean, it's really dependent on what cash generation we can see from 3 and 4 and what's appropriate for those projects. And I think it's worth reminding also, I mean, we have 100% on 58, we have 65% on 56. That means we go into these projects with high interest stakes, and I would expect at the end of a development cycle, we would probably sit with lower interest stakes. So that's certainly part of the equation in terms of financing and meeting those requirements.
Understood. That's very, very helpful. Thank you. And that's all for me.
Thank you. Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press *11 on your telephone keypad. Now we're going to take the next question from Martin Malzeth from ABG Sundal Collier. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Magnus and Pepe. Thanks for having my questions. So the first question is on Block 3 and 4. So given the revised production guidance, it's still reasonable to assume a slight increase in production levels in the second half of the year compared to Q2, or should I expect a more flat development? And the second question is on Block 56. On the extended well tests at Alimut, should we expect to see some revenue contribution from this in Q3? And then the third question is on Block 58 and the potential farm out. So how much are you looking to farm down on the block, and what would be the ideal ownership stake, in your opinion, after a farm out? Thank you.
Right, thank you, Martin. I'll start with the revenue recognition. Yes, on 56. Yes, we did have a lifting of the first lifting of oil from 56 in July. So we are expecting to see some revenue recognized in the third quarter from that. However, I would caution that not to have too high expectations, and as the volumes are modest, and those that we have reported are including both government and partner shares. The exact determination of that is to be determined. So we're not at liberty to give any guidance on exact entitlement share at this point.
Sorry, Petr, if I may interject there also. In general, I should say, I mean, an extended well test is an extended well test. And we are allowed to sell the oil, not just give it away. But serious revenue would not be able to be calculated until we have a closer to commerciality. And of course, once we are in commercial production, then it will be transparent and predictable what kind of entitlement we will have. So yeah. While it's still an early extended well test situation, there will be some revenue, but it will be incremental, if I put it that way. Sorry,
No, exactly. Magnus, do you want to comment on the production guidance question about the production levels in the second half?
Sorry, could we repeat that question?
Yes. So given the revised production guidance, is it reasonable to assume a slight increase in the production levels in the second half compared to Q2, or should we expect a more flat-ish development?
Okay. I mean, we've guided for around 9,000, and that's the best part of the guidance we can give based on the work program that we have from the operator and the operator's numbers of expectation from the wells, and also from our own experience with wells. As we've commented on earlier, there were exploration focused during the first quarter. So there were fewer development wells drilled during the first half of the year than there will be during the second half. So typically, that should speak in favor of more development wells should bring more production wells in the second half. So, I mean, we are confident that the guidance will stand, and we will see how far it can be taken, so to speak.
And Martin, what was your final question? Please remind us.
Yeah, the third question was on Block 58 and the potential farm out. So I was wondering how much you're looking to farm down on the block, and what would be like the ideal ownership stake in your view?
We remain quite open-minded in terms of interest stakes. It really depends on what is on offer in terms of what an interested party offers and what they bring to the table, I would say. We would like to keep a significant, if not a high stake at this early stage. We are yet to drill, so we want to go into that drilling with a material exposure to that drilling. We are very excited about it. It's from that respect, we don't want to be letting go of too much, of course. In the end, it really depends on what's being offered and on the table and what the whole package. Because as we're saying, we're looking to build a strong partnership for not just for the one-off well, but for a full campaign and hopefully also development. I think we'll be quite open-minded in that. Then again, we don't want to dilute ourselves too early either. It's going to be a balancing act between that. That remains to be seen. It's early days yet.
Okay. That was quite clear. That was it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions, and I would like now to hand the conference over to Martin Nordin for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much for listening. I think it's been some excellent questions, and we are keen to talk to you again, if not before, so in early November, where hopefully we are much further along in 56, see the contours of a new production stream, and we are seeing stable and hopefully slightly increasing production from 3 and 4. Stay with us and speak again soon. Thank you very much.